SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, at the races, and waiting for connection with Seth. And for those of you that are looking at the pick six today, I've written it up, and I'll make some. I needed to wait for the scratches, particularly in the two turf races, before putting together the structure of the plays, and it's going to be tricky this pick six now. I was kind of hoping that we might get, you know, a couple of horses that, particularly in the turf races, that might come out. But I mean, the MTOs look very strong in the sixth, particularly the Bond Zealous, the 1A, and Yamano Maker. Bill Mott, those two. There is one horse that stayed in, though, from the body of the race. Heroes Welcome, that interests me. Wayne Potts, who's starting a number of horses, seems now regularly in New York for the winter. So, you know, a couple of A's. Linda Rice has got a Medaglia d'Oro, Dance for Oro, first-time starter as an MTO. So I don't know really, that's a bit of a mystery horse that's involved as well, you got to worry about. But it does feel like the two MTOs are strong A's, and I really having trouble separating Yamano Maker and Zealous. But Heroes Welcome, I got a little, two good, you know, a couple of good starts. It's a very solid that can fit in here. And considering that there's four MTOs, the money will gravitate in that direction. So Heroes Welcome will be a price. Certainly if you're playing the pick four, at the least, Heroes Welcome feels like a B for you in the pick four. So I'll make those kinds of decisions. And then we'll let Seth and I'll bounce things off each other when we reach him. The eighth race, there's a horse that came out that happens to be a personal favorite that I you ever do this? You put a horse you hear about or you saw when they're young, and you put it in your watch list. So now you're getting the workout emails, you're getting the entry work, you know, all that stuff from your stable mail. And then the horse's career, you know, starts to roll along. And, you know, whether you made money with the horse or not, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But it does very frequently, you know, those kinds of horses, I don't know if I'm too lazy to go back into, you know, the system. It's funny. You go to the systems, whatever you use for stable mail, and it's easy enough to add. I don't know why I don't, you know, while I'm there, I don't delete ones that have become less, you know, less intriguing. So I've had that scenario with Do That Dance. And Do That Dance, who's now a 5-year-old and would have been making start number 33 today. And he's a Louis Couture's 5-year-old bred by Chandley Farm originally. And now I'm going to forget who had Do That Dance going way back to his, you know, to his younger days. But he's one of those horses I had in my stable mail, and so it whenever you see them, you know, you have I guess more affection, I don't know. But anyway, he's not running in the eighth in the feature today, the second level allowance. That second level allowance isn't easy. You got two strong favorites, it seems, and Mr. Buff and Hammer and Hammer, the pretty nice jump start for the Zayats and Rudy Rod. He's been an okay horse. They bought him a Timonium for $20,000, and he's made $250. Hammer and Hammer, you know, just kind of the hard way. Maryland bred. Occasionally goes down to Maryland for that little extra Maryland 30%. Well, I'll save the rest of this for Seth. He's not with us yet, but we'll certainly get to him. Meanwhile, you know what? This does provide me a nice quiet moment. This does provide me with a chance to catch up on the results that we did not talk about yet. And there's still certainly a potential to get a visit in maybe tomorrow, maybe even later in this hour, with some connections I haven't really scratched even the surface. But going back to midweek last week, a couple of races that really didn't get, we didn't get a chance to really talk about. How about Rusty Arnold and Calumet with Corey Lannery, English Affair, that English Channel filly. This was a very nice effort, and went off 3-1 as the second choice, and English Affair, you know, had been third in the Dowager, got moved up a slot, and now turns around and in her second graded stake try, wins. And running, you know, very quietly, Rusty's had a pretty typical Rusty Arnold year overall. 35 wins from 219 starts going into, you know, the middle of last week. 16%. You know, Rusty Arnold, just very steady. He's had another solid year, and this is important, of course. This is an English Channel mare, filly. She'll be a mare after the first, but she's out of a Colonial Fair mare, was a Calumet homebred. So making her a graded stake winner, very valuable. And Corey Lannery was very patient in this, if you saw this. This was on Thanksgiving. He also had Chris Block with the Illinois bred Prado's Sweet Ride, who's now, how old is she now? She's got a few years on her. All right, 6 years old, sure enough. 6 years old. Feels like she's been around forever. Prado's Sweet Ride. she wins the Fall City, the Grade Two. Tremendous. Very nice. And she had been actually back against some restricted company, some Illinois company, the Chris Block and the Bromers, Daryl and Sadie Bromer. This is the homebred, and what a nice win this is for her. Puts her well past $500,000 in earnings. That was her 30th start of her career and her 8th win. Prado's Sweet Ride. And her last, she'd been second in the Modesty last year and the year before. So, this is a nice win for that team. Some of the other Churchill numbers and names from the holiday week. I was happy for Michelle Lovell. Got a little bit of back amongst allowance types and got a good up-close stalking ride under Florent Giroux and won that allowance the other day. That was on Friday, one of the big prices. And the Mrs. Revere course, we talked to Kenny McPeak, we talked to Brad Cox, and then into Saturday. And for those of you that may have not seen the tweet, if you're not a tweet type, I put out the whole list of figures from the two-year-old card, the Stars of Tomorrow. And there were there were a couple of exceptional performances. And to touch on a couple of them, the off-the-turf, it's interesting, the off-the-turf first race on Saturday at Churchill, that Boxwood, who I thought was, you know, a good key horse, if they stayed on the turf even, I was going to bet Boxwood. But off the turf, Boxwood, she was going to have to fall down to not win. And that was one of those scenarios where in an off-the-turf race, you absolutely knew what you had to do. And Boxwood wins off by 10 lengths. And now this one, never in doubt. This was a good step forward, too. Mile and a 16th, 84 buyer. And this is for Bill Pape and Eddie Keneally. And I'm anxious to talk to Eddie. Eddie had a good meet, too. I got to think that they'll keep this filly on the dirt for now. No reason not to. Naughty Joker. Modest. That race came back pretty modestly, high 50s figure-wise. The Dale Romans, Dale did not have a good weekend, and the two-year-olds really did not fare that well. But Admire was good. This was a Cairo Prince colt for the Albaz, and Admire breaks the maiden going a mile and an eighth, and that's notable. The stretch is out, and really the debut back in the beginning of November came in, you know, that came in the Jack Van Berg race when Jack Van Berg broke the maiden on Breeders' Cup Friday. So Admire comes back and I thought ran very nice. 71 buyer, took a step forward, but you know, mile and an eighth. Nice to know you got that type. One of the performances that seems to have gone under the radar from Stars of Tomorrow was the maiden win by the Fipke homebred Jersey Agenda. And, of course, Jersey Town, just talking with Sid there. Jersey Town, this colt, Jersey Agenda, making a second start, debuted on the grass at Kentucky Downs in September, and then moves over to the dirt. This was a very good effort and earned an 83 buyer. And I kind of looked quizzically later in the evening in the day when Supersteed won for Larry Jones in the eighth, going the same 6.5 furlongs. I thought, in a lot of ways, Jersey Agenda, who basically set the pace, I thought Jersey Agenda was just as impressive, and for some reason, Supersteed became a TDN rising star. And why isn't Jersey Agenda a rising star? So keep an eye on Jersey Agenda. Out of a Dyna former mare, so there's reason to expect that Jersey Agenda can stretch out going forward. You had Need Supervision, and this was the one, you know, this was the one winner from Stars of Tomorrow that was really tough. I think some people got to Need Supervision too. Paid $77, but 37-1, 38-1 almost. Jeremiah O'Dwyer came over from Maryland with Needs Supervision. This is a painter filly out of a Carson City mare, and had run, you know, two very good races at Penn National and Laurel. And I guess maybe that's one of the reasons that against some horses that, you know, were more familiar and had competed in broken maidens at Keeneland and so forth, for whatever reason, just what didn't get, you know, much of a look, and goes off as the second longest shot on the board. And that came in the fifth race, and it lit up that middle portion of the card in a big way. you know, a horse that I didn't mention among Brendan Walsh's many, the maiden winner Grandaria, 81 buyer, by the way, for Need Supervision out of that race. And there's been a couple of, take a look at that race that she comes out of too. It was the second race at Laurel. Mark this down. Second race at Laurel, November 2nd. That may be a productive race. You may want to make a mark of the horses that were at the top of that chart, because I think that's looking like a productive group. Grandaria is out of the female family of Bagdaria, and her dam, Bag of Jewels, the AP Indy mare. This is a Curlin filly for Sanders and Hirsch with Brendan Walsh. And Grandaria, who we did talk about with Brendan, a winner and an easy winner under Ricardo Santana. Grandaria, and this race did not really grade out all that well. 67 buyer for Grandaria. Steady, you know, second start. She's going long on the this was going to be long on the grass and ended up on the main track. So we'll see what Brendan does if he brings her back. Fancy Dress Party was a nice performance for L&J Foxwoods. This was among the fillies. This was one of the better efforts too. And Florent Giroux aboard for Ben Colebrook and the Roths. Her second start, won at First Asking. Munnings out of a Matty G mare. How about that? Nice. Fancy Dress Party. And Florent Giroux and the big price runner-up that chased her home, Discreet Beauty. And she was a little tough to, frankly, to scare up. And I think she might have been a beneficiary, price-wise, of being out on the AE list. And she drew in from the 14. And she was an Indiana bred, a Discreetly Mine, out of a Pico Central mare, Bruce Murphy, and Gennaro Garcia. And she's been okay against Indiana bred company, and this is a nice effort facing open allowance juveniles. Super Steed, I mentioned, won by half a dozen, but frankly, there was a pretty big pace in front of this colt, Super Saver. Mike Presley bred, and he's got a partner, Steed Jackson. He basically came from the back of the pack, going 6.5, and they went 45-3 in front of him. And that's why I said that I thought Jersey Agenda was every bit as impressive earlier on the card. And they didn't make him a rising star, but Super Steed, keep an eye out, and be good to have Larry Jones chasing the dream. For Love of Country. Now, this was the horse on the late portion of Saturday's card that stymied a lot of people. Jimmy DeVito for Double Down. Virginia bred. Lazy Lane Farm for Love of Country. And basically sat behind the speed, Tyler Gaffleone, and when asked, produced. And that was a little bit of a departure from the way in which this colt had approached his turf races. He had run three times on the grass, including in the Bourbon, where he just kind of went around. He had rallied a little bit at Del Mar and gotten within two lengths of the likes of King of Speed and Takeo Squared. But this was a very good effort on the dirt. And for Love of Country, $74 buyer in here. We gave you the two stakes, of course, with Leora and with Signalman. And then in the nightcap, you know, it's funny, John Nichols and I were conversing about the card in general. And I didn't care for War of Will. I just didn't trust. I didn't know what to expect, I guess, from War of Will making the dirt move. There were a couple of horses on the Star of the Tomorrow card that were doing this, that were, you know, making turf to dirt moves. And I don't know. I just, this was the first start, a War Front out of a Sadler's Well mare. Why would we think that War of Will, even though he had worked nicely on the dirt, it's just weird, you know? But he was dominant. And it's funny. I picked him fourth, and it didn't really matter in terms of the multis, because the big multis were already in trouble because of what happened with For Love of Country. Didn't have him. But War of Will was taking money right from the opening, and went off at 2-1, and then ran like a good thing on the dirt, 82. So buyer. So we'll see. And that's for Gary Barber, who's had a very nice fall. So there you go. There's your complete rundown of the Stars of Tomorrow action. We got all of Aqueduct in with Andy yesterday, and there's your Churchill updates, and I wanted to make sure that we had a chance to talk about those other Stars of Tomorrow races. Well, hopefully we're going to... Seth is nowhere to be found, huh? All right. Still no Seth. All right. Here's a note. He just sent a text. Okay, bottom of the hour. He was on TV today, and he's doing the Capital OTB... he's doing the Yule log, the human Yule log, where Seth will walk you through the action at Tampa and at Aqueduct today on TV. So that's what he was in the car, Casey. So he should be there very shortly. Perfect. Let's take the bottom of the hour break. We'll come back and Seth will join us from the studios of Capital OTB TV on Central Avenue in Albany. Back after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I can't put his name, the people of the day, see each other down, or lift a hand in way. This has been going on for years and years. Humanity's a class lord on his first year. Your blood's red as well as mine. Help up the past, leave it all behind. You know deep down in your mind, there's a rainbow in our town.
We're back at the races, bottom of hour three, on a fun Wednesday, midweek, later today. In fact, just saw the text from the racing office at NYRA. They're getting ready to call a final for the card, which means there could be a fairly early draw and a chance to start looking at the Cigar Mile and the Gopher Wand and the Remsen and the Demoiselle on Saturday. Cigar Mile Day, and the weather should be okay downstate. We'll see. Meanwhile, Seth Merrill was traveling to the beautiful studios of Capital OTB. That's why he was not at the ready earlier, because you can join him on TV today. Seth will walk you through the action, and he handicaps on the fly. It's exciting television.
It is exciting television. That's what I'm shooting for. I'm glad you said that. That's exactly what I'm shooting for. Exciting television. And early start today. I don't get started for another, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes, but they're loading in the gate for the closing day card at Finger Lakes already.
Well, and Finger Lakes has had a good meet, and it's been after some concerns, of course, beginning of the year, and they're actually breaking camp seemingly a little early, right? About a week early?
I actually, when I pulled up the PPs and saw the early post time and just big full fields, I went and looked, the schedule winds up in November, so which is, I think, about a week. You're exactly right. It's usually the first week of December.
That's what I usually, like, December 3rd, 4th, give or take. And for those that that don't know what Seth does, here's what you can look forward to. And there's a great intro to the Seth's handicapping. In fact, Casey has it for us.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
Seth puts on the sweater and right, Seth?
I do have on the sweater. I have to look. I don't know if I don't know if I can work into. Can you say trifecta? I don't think that works at this level.
I couldn't resist, because the other day I was watching and there you were, and with the woolly mammoth sweater, and then you looked all comfortable, and
I do. I go. I'm in here for 4 hours, so I go for a little bit of comfort. So I'm under the lights here, so I do try this. Very good.
Well, we hope you'll join Seth Merrow and the Capital OTB team. You know, it's funny. I also had referenced there's a Capital OTB NHC seats coming up next, the 8th, I believe.
Yeah, it's been a monthly thing. It's been an ongoing thing throughout the entire year. Yeah, we're going to send somebody down to Vegas for that. Oh, I don't know whether I've alerted you. We'll be media mates. We're OTB's sending us down to cover this year the NHC, so it should be fun.
Wait a minute while I pick myself up off the floor.
Yeah, we're gonna do some cut-ins from Vegas. Should be good.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
Yep, made the plane reservation the other day, so we're ready to roll.
Well, you'll add to the atmosphere. Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it. From listening to the radio show, it sounds like 3 days of horse racing fun. So I'm plugged in, looking forward to it.
Oh, I love it. When was the last time you were in Vegas?
This will be time number one.
That's why I had a feeling. Why did I know that?
yeah, I'm kind of a homebody. I don't get
not off. Anymore. You're a globetrotter now.
I've been forced into it. Yeah, but which is right. I mean, I have enjoyed the trips, and then one of the most amazing ones. I still think since my brother lived out in New Mexico for a while, I had traveled to Albuquerque Downs before I had made it to either Aqueduct or Belmont. That's bad. That's just bad.
That was a classic. That's right. That's right. Well, and I, you know, speaking of the facilities, you I haven't talked to you about the Derby Lane situation and the dog situation in Florida. Because you loved going.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't this spell the death knell for greyhound racing? What was it? 9 of the 13 tracks in the country, or some number like that, are in Florida. And so, with the vote on election day to do away with greyhound, and you could see that coming from what happened up in Massachusetts. And I remember a few years ago when they had the same kind of a vote in Massachusetts. I looked at one of the maps that broke down the vote, and there were 4 greyhound racing in the small areas right around greyhound tracks. You know, they had a colored map, and everybody else wasn't. And it's just a fact of it. And I think for horse racing, it becomes something of a cautionary tale. Now, we're a much different sport. There are billions of dollars bet. But I think you have to keep in the back of your mind, greyhound racing just kind of went out of the consciousness of the public and certainly got no coverage in the media. And then it became very easy for those votes to take place in Massachusetts a few years ago and in Florida this year. And I think that we have to be at least cognizant of that on the horse racing side, that, you know, some people, as it disappeared from newspapers, kind of felt like, yeah, well, I can find the information I want on the Internet. But you want and we need that kind of mainstream coverage. And so I have to keep pushing for that and make a little noise when it does start to disappear.
No, agreed. And in fact, that's a topic that is going to come up at the symposium next week at University of Arizona. I think on the second day, that topic will be addressed. One of many, and will be out there starting on Monday. Seth, I'm counting on you, knowing that especially that you're doing the show today on OTB. Tampa and Aqueduct, the major action, the carryover sequence at Belmont at Aqueduct. I wanted to go over with you, and I gave everybody some heads up on scratches, and we certainly didn't get much help in that fourth race. Two horses came out, the 3 and the 6, and it still leaves us with some speculative difficulties figuring out who's going to perform on the dirt. No MTOs in that fourth race. 2-year-old fillies going a mile now on the main track. Let's go through this pick 6 sequence.
I had it on the dirt in the fourth. I went 10, 1, 2, and 9. I put 2-cent Tootsie on top just on the past couple off the turf performances, particularly the last one. You know, as you said, there are no MTOs in here, so you're looking for horses that have a little dirt form. Or if they're on, another thing in these kind of situations, if you're searching around, I mean, sometimes those MTOs just stand out. Sometimes there are horses that were entered in the body of the field that kind of stand out and have some dirt, some success on the dirt. But if you're looking just for future reference, and now the turf season winding down at Aqueduct, but again, if you can't find those, and there's a situation like this with a race without any MTOs. Also, you know, you look maybe at the breeding a little bit, and then you also look for workouts, because most of these horses work more on the dirt than they work on the turf, even if they're turf horses. So if you see some workouts that are okay, you can kind of tilt in that direction too. And another thing, and it's just the experience allows you this, I wish they would put a stat in one of those racing form stats for trainers and their success rate leaving horses in when races go from turf to dirt. Unfortunately, that isn't a stat that's there, but if you watch the races enough, you do get kind of a feel for when it's successful. As it turns out in this race, there are some horses with dirt experience. Toussaint Tootsie on top, Winifred J. Again, there was some dirt experience, I thought, with numbers that stacked up decently with this bunch. I put Brezza. I said Brezza was in my turf mix. Little Song, the first-time starter from West Point, and Rob Masiello by Curlin. And again, there is a some workouts underneath. Now they're down at Fair Hill, but there's some workouts underneath that maybe you can hang your hat on a little bit. So again, I went 10, 1, 2, and 9 in here.
I liked the Alpertrani as well. Toussaint Tootsie, the 10. The horse that you have to consider on the grass, and I think is somewhat intriguing, given that Clement is leaving her in, is Market Legacy. You know, she ran okay in her debut from the outside, going six at Belmont on the grass. And he leaves Market Legacy in, and she gets first Lasix. And that family, the Marquetry mare to Market, you know, who's had so many nice horses. I mean, most especially, obviously, Discretionary Mark, you know, who won, I don't know, half a dozen stakes. I think there's reason to believe that to Market or Market Legacy in this case, it will be okay on the dirt, and I think you better be very cognizant of Market Legacy staying in this race, getting first Lasix. I'm absolutely using, but this is tricky. How about Brezza, the 4 from Jimmy Bond, who also turned in a pretty nice performance in her debut, going a mile on the grass, and this one stays in. She's a Tisway out of a Lionheart mare. Why won't she function on the dirt, Brezza?
Yeah,
the second.
I wouldn't disagree with either of those on what you're saying. They've had one start. They were pretty good, and there's enough as far as the breeding there that you can kind of make the case. And the workouts underneath are okay on dirt as well. You make the case that they could, you know, blast off in their second career start on dirt in a situation like this where the entire field was aiming for the turf.
Right. And Winifred J, the 1 from Eddie Barker, and Jay Hanley bred this filly. She's by Blame out of a Forest Wildcat mare. She just went a mile on the turf at Aqueduct just, 3 weeks ago, not even. And I don't know why a Blame filly out of a Forest Wildcat mare isn't going to function on the dirt either. I mean, she had 2 off the turf tries at Belmont, and she was just fair. But it seems like maybe she's a better horse now, 6 weeks later, 8 weeks later. So the 1 scares me. And then Bob Masiello and West Point with Little Song. This is a $210,000 Saratoga, New York bred purchase as a yearling. First-time starter, Grand Motion. I'm telling you, this race, I think I would have preferred. Sometimes you like when it goes to the dirt because it makes it easier to narrow down. Not the case in this. The best part is glad Naira put this race first in the sequence, Seth, because at least you get a look at the board and you'll get maybe some betting clues.
Yeah, I agree. As I said, I went 10, 1, 2, and 9, but the 4 and the 7 you mentioned are certainly live possibilities. And so it's one of those races, as you say, the first race in the sequence. Maybe you can get some ideas when you look at the board, and it'll pull you, particularly in the direction of a potentially Little Song. But, those two turf first-time starters, Brezza and Market Legacy, that are now moving to the dirt, maybe they'll look a little live on the board as well.
No doubt. Well, let's go to the second leg, and it's a 16-claimer going the flat mile. In fact, there'll be three straight flat mile races to start the sequence because the two turf races will be run at a mile on the dirt. So you'll get three in a row. And this is a bit of a, this is, I thought, a little bit of a slippery bunch. And I ended up leaning toward Halloween Horror with an A race. Gets the 7-pound bug, Martinez, for Contessa. And I thought that given the group, that there was a chance Halloween Horror could either set the pace or, you know, just be right near it. But I'm not, I'm going to be inclined to spread around a little bit. Zap, zap, zap. Rudy Rod drops down a tick, was claimed for 14, tried 20s and just missed, and then comes back down to 16 here. I thought that Kenyon, Gary's horse, two back, that state-bred 25 claimer, that was a good effort at Belmont in September, and a return to that race is competitive. And Robert as well, the six, I think, bears consideration. Dennis Laumann, surprisingly, is 0 for the year. I mean, he's Dennis wins and has been winning forever. Kind of curious to see him 0 for 2018.
Well, we've got the entire field covered because I went. I have Halloween Horror in my mix, but I went 7-4-5-1. I put Bitumen on top. The numbers down, you know, you go 3-4-5 back, the numbers are pretty good. The race, the horse was claimed out of, the number went backwards a little bit, and then the follow-up, but does get the class relief, which you can make a case either way. You know, that they've kind of realized, oop, maybe not such a good claim, or they're just trying to go down now and get to more of a winning level. But I'll put my trust in Carlos Martin on that share to be making a more of a crafty move here. So put the 7 on top, Extinct Charm in the second spot. Again, a step of class relief with some numbers that I thought were okay and competitive with this bunch, and on the step of class relief might go forward just a little bit. And I put Gary's horse, Gary Contessa's Halloween Horror, off of that last start, and particularly the 1-3 back with the same apprentice on board. That was a good win with a solid number that would win this race in here today, and a particular peculiar sensation in the fourth spot. But, you know, the Rudy horse, Zap Zap Zap, scares me. On numbers kind of towards the bottom of the page, if some of those numbers were a little more recent, I would have been a little more attracted to that horse. But it is the 9-5 morning line favorite as well. That may be one where the board will give some hints also. But I had it 7-4-5-1.
Third leg. This comes off the turf. These are older horses going the mile on the dirt. And here the MTOs are the main attraction.
Yeah, I used all three of them. About four of them, actually. The three on the outside, and then the one that's an MTO in the body of the field. 1A, 11, 12, and 9. Zealous on top for Jim Bond. Comes out of a good race last time. Similar race. I'm a mile off the turf for just missed there with the same apprentice on board with solid numbers compared to this bunch. Looks logical. Yamano Maker, in the second spot, Bill Mott trainee, was on the dirt in the career debut. Looked like a pretty good debut, nice foundation to build from. Same situation with Mark Henning's Tough Times. Decent-looking debut that I think the horse can build off of, and the bullet workout looks pretty good as well. So 1A, 11, 12, and 9 for me.
Yeah, not particularly different, and ideally I hope I can get away with just for the pick six with Zealous and Yamano Maker, the 1A and the 11. Heroes Welcome, though,
yeah.
I think people need to take a long look at off the claim Wayne Potts, who is very strong off the claim. In this case, you know, he took Heroes Welcome from the Wests and Steve Asmussen at Churchill, and think that Heroes Welcome is at least in the pick six a C, and maybe more. But ideally, if you're on a tight budget, you can get away with the 1A and the 11.
And the 2, Love Nest, on the off the turf for last time, I think, is potentially a little bit live, too, with Jose Ortiz on board. So again, it's another race where you're either spreading or going narrow. You know, you make your stand or play around and look to make a stand someplace else.
Love Nest has got to improve. I mean, has got to improve.
Well, what attracts me is Jose Ortiz jumps back on board, and I think that can bring a little improvement. I didn't put him in the top four, so I'm not arguing. I'm just saying I could make the case there.
We'll talk 15-1, and you get a very. You got Ortiz, you got Bob Masiello, and Tom Albertroni. Why not? Second half of this pick six sequence and the late pick three. It's a 40 claimer, and they're going seven. And this, I thought, was a tricky race. There were at least four in here I thought they could win. And there might even, I suppose the only one that I had trouble getting any affection for. I won't even say that. I thought this was potentially a problematic race, and I'm sure that the big budget types will buy it, take all six.
I won 1, 3, 5, and 4. I put Gypsy Janie on top. Off the last race, claimed the horse two back, Jimmy Riccio and Jeremiah Englehart. Claimed the horse for 40. They came back for 40. Ran okay. The number was a little light, but ran third and dropped down to 25-1 on a sloppy track down at Belmont. But the claim was back in June. The follow-up was the middle of August, and that last race was the end of October. So now kind of gets to string a couple together, and off of that, I think the move back to 40 is not going to be an obstacle. So I put Gypsy Janie on top. Lemon Crush, interesting to me, coming in from the West Coast. I just always think these horses are a little bit live when they make the move from Southern California. And Mo Flash in the third spot. Like the top pick, Gypsy Janie comes off of a win, a 25 win, but a 25 conditional win. So this is a move up to a little bit tougher competition, whereas Gypsy Janie had kind of faced this type and done so competitively. You still have to find that out from Mo Flash, but off the last win, I think it's going to fit in with this group okay. So again, 1, 3, 5, and 4 for me.
I included the 1, the 5, and the 3. And I picked Gypsy Janie on top. However, the horse that's a little interesting is the 6 and the Degree, Majestic Perfection. And what's attractive here is that it feels like this is a horse that may have a forward move to offer. She has been competitive, and other than the stake try at Parks, where at the time she was over her head, she doesn't fail to fire for the most part, and I thought that she could step forward. So I picked her 2nd. I thought she was the price that. That even though it's 7-2, I'll be interested to see how much money she takes coming in from Philly. But otherwise, I agree. I went with Gypsy Janie, 1, 6, 5, 3. Mo Flash, a repeat of that last one would be very good in here. And as you say, Lemon Crush, the horses that get shipped over by people like, in this case, Flying P, but Roddy Valenti does it as well. AC Avila training, but the ones that have speed in California, that speed typically plays well in on the East Coast. Turn to the feature and second level allowance or 62 fives, and they're going to go 9 furlongs. They're going to make a circuit here, and this is a good group.
Yeah, I think it's a competitive race. I went 4, 7, 3, and 6. Hammer and Ammer on top. Rudy Horse in good form, firing numbers that are competitive with this bunch. The number last time was a little bit light, and you wonder if maybe this horse is not a negative horse for a course at Aqueduct, but it's a horse that in 5 starts doesn't have a win yet at Aqueduct, so that's a little bit of a concern, but just it seems to me to have the potential to maybe with the experience out this season over the track, move forward and get back to a better number. Jacks over Hammer and Hammer on top. Mr. Buff in the second spot, the 9-5 morning line favorite coming up. The nice win here at the track last time on the front end and with a solid number that, yeah, it does make this horse the one to beat for John Kimmel and Chester and Mary Broman. And the snap decision, the Shug horse. Last couple of starts, the number was a little light for me. You go back, the numbers are better. The last two were on the Aqueduct Dirt. Prior races were on the turf, so maybe a little bit better of a turf performer and probably has to step it up on the dirt to compete in here this afternoon. But I thought, yeah, that's a possibility. So I had it 4, 7, 3, and 6.
7, 4, 6, and 8 for me. And I'm going to try to tiptoe through with Mr. Buff and Hammer and Hammer. That crew chief, coming off the turf races, but has got plenty of quality dirt form as well. And I agree that the crew chief, at least, you know, at least on spread tickets, at the very least a C. Gets us to the nightcap, Seth, and these are 12 fives going 6.5. And you do have some horses that are diving down in price. That usually attracts attention when it comes to this level. And you got a little bit of everything. You got some cutbacks, and you got some horses that had been on the turf through the summer and fall. And what you doing here?
7, 1, 5, and 4, Professor Snape on the class lead. But as I said earlier, these are the kind of moves that make you scratch your head a little bit and wonder. But this horse, if you know, all the wheels are on, does have the class edge. But the last race certainly makes you question that. But off of that last race, is this just a crappy move? You know, going from 40 to 12.5. But again, it was a little bit of a dud last time that has me leery. I wouldn't lean on that one as a single by any means. Big Guy Ian, the one, comes off of a nice second place finish last time, claimed out of that, claimed for 10, moves up to 12.5. But beyond that 10, all the other races on the page are better than the 12.5. So I think class-wise is, again, a good fit with this bunch this afternoon, and too fast to pass in the third spot. Like the top pick, the last one was a little bit of a dud. Get some class relief off of that, and the back numbers are pretty good, so I try to get back to those. 7, 1, 5, and 4.
I've got the same four horses in a slightly different order. I've got Big Guy Ian on top, so I went 1, 5, 7, 4. And I've been a fan of Big Guy Ian, forever. I've always liked this horse, and you know, he's going for his 8th win and 38 career starts. Always tries, and there doesn't seem to be all that much other pace pressure for him to deal with. So I think he could be controlling speed under Rajiv, who's riding very well, by the way. You know, Rajiv took him a while to get sort of back into the theme, into a routine and you know, get in riding shape, and he's had a very good start to the winter with 9 wins going into this week. So Big Guy Ian on top for me. I, you know, too fast to pass, I ended up I thought as the price 6-1 was attractive, and a return to that race 2 back would put him right squarely in this. And and Professor Snape, those are the three without fail on the multi-tickets. Ostrolenka, I picked 4th, who's just, you know, he's just kind of very slowly sliding down the ladder a little. You know, has made 660,000. You don't do that by accident. So, horse knows how to win. There you go. Seth, we'll be watching you. I'll be watching at home.
Turn me on and spread the word. And, you got me going now. So on the weekend when I come in and do the morning show with the Sport Coat, now when I come back in the afternoon, I'm going to come walk in the studio, take it off, and put it on the hanger and put the sweater on TV.
That would be huge. That's a ratings winner.
Now you got me going. I'll have to play the theme song and switch into the sweater right here on TV.
Watch the racing this afternoon on Capital OTV with Seth Merrow, Aqueduct at Charlestown, Delta Downs, Evangeline later, and Finger Lakes, closing day, Mahoning Valley, Mountaineer tonight, Penn National later, Remington, Tampa, and opening day at Turfway. They're also racing at Woodbine as well. Good luck wherever you're playing. Gus looked at Tampa, and I've got Aqueduct, and we'll have him on the website in the next 10, 15 minutes. Good luck, everybody. Back with you tomorrow. I want to thank Seth and Pete, Tyler Picklesheimer, and Sid Fernando. Talk to you in the morning.
Latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more,